15th chapter of the book of Acts. 15th chapter, verse 36. Some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again to visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. Now I want you to watch here. Hope you haven't forgotten what was said to start with. The Holy Ghost put Paul and Barnabas together. Amen. The Holy Ghost sent them forth. They prayed, and the Holy Ghost separated me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I had called for them to do. But I want you to watch here how after the Holy Ghost put them together, they even split apart. Amen. These are some of the difficulties you encounter with a five-fold ministry, because you're dealing with preachers. You're dealing with people in the flesh. Amen. Let's just read further and see what happened. All right. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. That was the apostle John. But Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them at Pamphylia, and went not with them to do the work. See, Paul, he didn't like it too good. Amen. Paul hadn't got over it yet. They took John over there with him in the 13th chapter in the 11th verse where John left him. See, John went with him on the original first missionary trip. But when John got over there to Pamphylia, the Bible says he left them and returned back to Jerusalem. Now, Paul didn't like that. Amen. And Paul hadn't forgot about it. Praise God. And so over here, Barnabas said, let's take old John with us again. No doubt Paul, Barnabas and John were good friends. Amen. They probably had something in common, and Barnabas might not like too good the way Paul operated himself, and he could have John on his side. Maybe when Paul go off out here and stay a year or 6 months, maybe him and John could get away and take a little evangelistical trip or something. But Paul, he said that Paul thought it not good to take with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And Paul healed Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Caesarea, confirming the churches. Amen. Now I want you to look at this and think about this. Amen. The Holy Ghost put Paul and Barnabas together. Amen. But he separated them here. I want to show you some of the difficulties in a five-fold ministry. Some of the difficulties in a ministry. Amen. And the way things got to operate. Amen. A lot of people get offended because things don't go like they thought they ought to go. Amen. They think they got the idea that the five-fold ministry, everything in it's going to run so smooth. Praise God, there's nothing ever going to happen. Nobody get mad at one another, nothing like that. Praise God, but the apostles, they had their problem. Amen. They had their problem. Glory to God, because they were still in the flesh, they were still men. Now, they never did reach complete perfection, but they came near it. All right, look here. The very thing that the Holy Ghost put together even got separated back. I want you to notice, I want this to soak in tonight. Praise God, like I said a while ago, tonight's not a good night to shout, don't seem like. But praise God, it'd be a good night to learn something about the Word of God, wouldn't it? Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, the situation we've got today is similar to this. And we're going to have similar encounters as we go forward with the five-fold ministry. Amen. Now, those preachers have disagreements and everything, and they're still real good preachers. Amen. Praise God, but when we get on over in the epistles, we're going to find out that Paul's authority, as this five-fold ministry swung, as the minister swung from the Jews over to the Gentiles in the latter part of it, what Paul said was more respected, and they had less problems in this thing. But this is starting out from the ground up. Amen. Do you understand? That's what we're doing tonight. We're starting out a five-fold ministry from the ground up. We got something to work with. Praise God, but we've got humans to work with. And any time you use humans to work with, you get humanism. I don't know if that's a word or not, but I'm going to make one up. Praise God. You got humanism. And when I say humanism, I mean human nature you've got to deal with. So they had to deal with you. Amen. Now, I've seen messages go forth that I thought was of God, and I believe it's God. And things didn't work out exactly like I thought they would work out by the message that went forth that was of God. Amen. You say, can it fail? Did this fail? Praise God. Now, this was starting from the ground up with a fivefold ministry. Amen. Paul and Barnabas here, they let their own thinking, amen, interrupt the missionary journey here. They let their own thinking. Yes, sir, Reed, they did that thing. I want you to notice now. But did Paul quit? Did Peter quit? Did John quit? Did Barnabas quit? No, sir, Reed, they just kept right on. Because over here, we'll find out later, where we're in the last chapter of Timothy, I believe it is, where Paul sent Barnabas over to another place. Even though Paul and Silas were together, Barnabas and Paul, they couldn't agree on this, so they each one went their own way. But later on over here, when Paul's in prison, he said, so-and-so went so-and-so, so-and-so went to this church, and Barnabas went there, and he left Ephesus at Milton 6, and so forth like that, on telling what happened to the ministry. But these are just encounters that we are encountering now, and that we'll continue to encounter in the very near future. These are the difficulties that we're going to have to ride over. These are things that we're going to have to crawl over and keep on going. Amen. I'll say this, a winner never stops. Hallelujah. A winner never stops. Is that right? We're on the side, the winning side, and we're on God's side. Is that right? How's that little saying go? The winner never stops and the stopper never wins. Is that what it is? Amen. Well, that's right anyway, ain't it? A winner never stops and the stopper never wins. Amen. If that ain't the saying, I'll make it up tonight. Make it a saying. Amen. But these are difficulties. Now, it would look like John when he said, Paul, he don't like me. He won't even let me go on the missionary journey. Called Paul, he said, no, you can't go, John. You were over there. We took you with us, and when we got over there at Pamphylias and stayed there a while and preached, you hightailed it back to Jerusalem. You left us over there. You wouldn't stay and help us do the work. It was needful over there. Now you want to go back with us again. I'm afraid you'll do the same thing again. But Barnabas said, no. Said, Paul, let's let him go. I believe he'll make it this time. Paul said, no deal. Amen. So the contention becomes so sharp. Paul and Silas went one way, and Barnabas and John went the other way. All right, these are examples. How many knows this Bible is an example? Amen. Now, this Bible to us now is like the Old Testament was to the disciples. Amen. They could use it as an example, walk by it, and the Bible says it's a light that shines. Amen. In a dark place. And it's going to keep shining until the day dawn, the day star rise in our heart. Praise be to God. This is give us examples. Give us, because we're going to encounter these same things. Now, the disciples of Jesus and the early apostles encountered similar things. They could look back in the Old Testament and see things like that happen. It would give them a guideline to go by, wouldn't it? Amen. Now, if the early ministry here had to crawl over things, had disagreements, and even the contention become so sharp between them that they almost come to the point of fighting, they just had to leave one another. Amen. Then it wouldn't be unusual in our day for things like this to happen. Praise God. I believe God's got some good preachers. I really do. Amen. I do. I really believe that. I believe God's got the material to qualify for the ministry. But I believe the ones that's in it got to look at this thing right. Praise God. Now, I make my mistakes. You can grant. I'll tell you that now. I'll make my mistakes and you're going to make yours. Amen. I'm going to look at you, your mistakes, and you're going to look at mine. Because we don't want you to look at one of our own mistakes, do we? Hallelujah to God. Well, they did the same thing here. Amen. I would say this was a mistake that they made here. Wouldn't you? The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I've called them to do. Now, when Paul and Barnabas wouldn't stay together and go work together, I would say they made a mistake. Because the Holy Ghost don't change it. The Holy Ghost don't make mistakes, does he? So either Paul and Barnabas made a mistake here in separating, or the Holy Ghost made a mistake in putting them together. And I would say it was them because the Holy Ghost spoke, whether it was audibly or through prophecy, but the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I've called them to do. Now I want you to notice that the first mistake they made, when you make one mistake, it usually leads to another. And usually leads to another mistake. The first mistake, they took John with them, and the Holy Ghost said nothing about John going with them. And John was the whole trouble all the way through. I want you to notice that. Amen. Praise God how we could get over in Joshua now and preach how Joshua and them went over there and the walls of Jericho fell by just marching around. But then there was a little place called Ai up on the hill. Just a small place. You ever read Joshua, the first few chapters? You've read this. Amen. But they sent a bunch of men up there, 3,000 or 4,000 men. Just a small place. The captain came to Joshua and said, don't make all the people go up, Joshua. Just a small place. They sent 3,000 or 4,000 men up there. Said, we'll go up and that's all it needs. But they sent 3,000 or 4,000 men up there, and those men of Ai came out and whipped them. Killed 36 of them. Oh, Joshua fell down on his face before God, and God said, get up, Joshua. Is that right? Amen. There was two things there. There was sin in the camp, one thing. But the main thing, Joshua didn't consult God on how to do it. All right, you listen to the voice of God. When they went up the next time, the Bible says they took all of Israel with them. And when they went up, why would it take 2 million people to whip 3,000 or 4,000? That's just God's way of doing it. You've got to do it God's way. How many knows it? Amen. Oh, Joshua took all the whole camp of Israel up against them. All the armies of Israel, brother, they fell just like that. Amen. It's just humanity, human difficulties you encounter. Now, if it had been some of us, what would we have done when everything looked like it blowed up in our face? Amen. Oh, Joshua fell on his face before God. When everything looked like blow up in their face, they quit, don't they? Amen. God wants everyone to quit that he can get to quit. That's why he let difficulties come right by. Though Joshua was a man that was going to take the land, he didn't have quitting in his mind. He had going on. Amen. That's what God's doing today. He's getting ministers that got going on in their mind. Everybody that got quitting in their mind, God is giving them an excuse. He's letting them quit. Amen. And I promise you, from now on out, to this thing reach the total point of perfection, there's going to be difficulties encountered. Amen. You're going to see preachers and people you've got confidence in. Praise God, you're going to see them turn around and do things you thought they would never do. Amen. But a lot of them are going to straighten up then and come on. Praise God. That's where you've got to keep walking with God, and those that do things you think is wrong, in your way of thinking, in your way of looking at it, look like they're going right backwards to the will of God. Amen. But you're going to have to do like Paul did later in Barnabas, somewhere along. Now, somewhere, the Bible don't record where it's at. See, people, they got an idea that this is all Paul did. What would, from the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, on through the book of Acts, and some of the epistles, why Paul did that much in just a short while? But his ministry was many, many years. Some people think this is all Paul's ministry. That's just a minor part of it. Amen. That's not even what's recorded that Paul did, is not even a drop in the bucket. Amen. Praise God, because what Paul did, if it was all wrote, why, when he went and stayed 2 years at half, 2 years and a half in one place and preached the word daily, where's those sermons at? Huh? Praise God, when he was many, many years going place to place, where's those sermons that they preached? Amen. Don't say nothing about it. Just record some letters he wrote. See, this is Luke. It's understood that Luke wrote this here, Book of Acts. And he got his information from Paul, because Paul and Barnabas and the apostles, because he wasn't with them all the time. How many knows that? Amen. But it's God's will for us to have some kind of idea of what Paul and them did. Oh, if you could understand what I'm saying now. Some kind of idea of what was said. Some kind of idea of what was done. It would give us some kind of idea of what we need to do in this hour. We understand? This book here, you read what Peter, James, and John and all them said. I read the other day, I read that place where it says, and after 6 days they went upon the mountain. And then Jesus was transfigured before them. I flipped on over Scofield Reference Bible. If you hadn't got a Scofield, hey, you just missing it, I think. I'm strong for it. I like Scofield Reference. I really do. I flipped over there on the other writers. What they said, one says, after 8 days, he went up on the mountain. I said, man, there's one writer said 6 days, they went up on the mountain. The other writer said, after 8 days, they went up on the mountain. And then I got reading how Jesus called his disciples. Book of John says John induced Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, and two of John's disciples followed Jesus. And there he started his disciples. And they went and got told others about it and so forth like that. But in another book I read, it says that Jesus walking by the seashore and found out I washed the net and said, follow me. Said nothing about John introducing me. Amen. Well, what is that? It's the God's divine revelation flowing through a man. It's God's mind written in a book. Amen. That we'll know what happened. It's a light that's shining in a dark place. Praise God. But the original plan is all the time for us to have the unwritten law in our heart. And do you see how it fits in with this scripture here tonight? This is a light that's shining in a dark place, but it ain't the light. Praise God, Jesus Christ is the light, and Jesus Christ is the Spirit. Amen. And Jesus Christ has got to get in your heart, and when that, well, He is the Word is Spirit. How many knows the Word is Spirit? You know that's what Jesus said? He said, my words are life, my words are Spirit. Amen. You say, well, ain't this Jesus' Word? Why, every theologian in the country can study this out and quote you Scripture and not know a thing about the Word. The Word is Jesus. This gives us an idea. This shows us which way the apostles went. This shows us what Jesus did. This records some of the things, but not all. Not even one, well, not even one-tenth of what Jesus did or said. You read a book of Matthew, the book of Mark, and all, you read it in just a few minutes. Especially the book of Mark, just 16th chapter. Don't take long to read it. And it will give you sketches of what Jesus did. But some writers record he went over to some town, and then this writer don't even say anything about him going over to that town. One says he turned the water to wine, John. None of the rest of the writers don't say anything about it. But each one picked up and wrote little sketches of what Jesus did. I'm interested in Jesus, where he's at today, and he's in his Word revealing it. And as he is in his Word revealing it, people look at it from the outside and say, that's not God. There's too many mistakes, too many deaths, too much failures, too much humanism. But it's God anyway. Amen. Amen. If you're interested, you want to see some things where one writer said one thing, another said another thing, and it contradicts in that sense, if you want to apply it to words, I can show you over and over and over. Paul telling the vision said one time, he said, they saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice. Then he told it to another, and he said, they heard the voice, but they didn't see the light. Amen. Well, who is that? Is that, it's God's getting on record what he wants us to know. Amen. It's only just like a flashlight out here beside the sun. Now, the sun represents the Son of God, right? Amen. The earth today, but you can walk around with a lantern or a flashlight. Now, going by this Bible, without the Holy Ghost, in our day, it's like having a flashlight trying to see all around us with a flashlight. You can't do it. But the Bible says, amen, the day is dawn, and the day starts rising in the heart. Praise God, it says, to them that fear the Lord will the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Only to them that fear God will the Son of God literally come inside of you. Praise God, and as the Son of God come literally inside of you, brother, whether you read any more Bible or not, amen, there's a voice inside of you saying, do this, go there, do that. Visions and dreams, God leading you, talking to you, God's real to you in the hour we're living in. Amen. Is that right? But now we're coming through difficulties getting there. God is trying to stumble everyone he can. There's a man told me, Brother Carl, a school teacher, just recently, about a month ago. You know, he began to tell me, well, I said, the Bible, King James, it's telling about one other version, has a lot more than King James. But I said, you know, the King James got a lot of them in there. I said, how can you say it's the Word of God? Said, how do you know all the Bible ain't mistakes and some man wrote it? He said, because here's why. He began to refer me, one writer said 6 days, one day. Of course, I knew those things in every place. Now, he knew. See, the man knew all those places where it said one thing in one place and then said something else in the other. But that don't matter with me. That don't stumble me. Amen. God's alive, and we can make it to heaven in this hour by the leadership of the Holy Ghost using this year like a flashlight. See what I'm talking about? Oh, praise God. All right, the difficulties we'll encounter from here on out. Now, we're living in an age when the Bible is almost fulfilled as it applies to us. Praise God, being in the Spirit. All right, notice they came so close to perfection. Amen. But then they begin to get further from it. We're not getting further from it. We're getting closer to it. We cannot get further from God. We've got to get closer to God. Amen. God cannot get further from us. God's got to get closer to us. Amen. Because God, He started descending. Amen. Oh, glory to God. The first leg of it was on the day of Pentecost. Amen. But the last leg of it, praise God, the latter rain in the end time, praise God, and the day star rising in our heart. Amen. Because on the day of Pentecost, amen, the Holy Ghost was a portion of the same Spirit that Jesus had. Right? He said, I'm with you now, but I shall be in you. Amen. But in this last day, glory to God, the headquarters of heaven, hallelujah, the mercy seat of God, everything will come into the bride of Christ. All right, all of this now just breaking before us, right here in front of us. It's this thing that's rising up in our heart. Glory be to God. It's not something. Brother Claude said something the other day that didn't know what he meant, sorry, but it made good sense after I found out what he was talking about. He said, the former rain come down, this latter rain's got to come up. Amen. I said, I can't read you. Amen. Then he began to tell me that this Christ rising in our heart. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? Praise God. Now, this former rain came down, everybody's speaking in tongues because it fell on us. But this has got to be a law in our heart. Amen. Not something fall on us, something come out of us. Amen. In this day that we're living in the Feast of Pentecost, in the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Bible says, read it in the 7th chapter of St. John, that out of the bellies flowed rivers of living water. The same thing that came out of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, brother. Amen. He was a scientist, wasn't he? But brother, when you plant a grain of corn in the ground, that grain of corn come up through the stalk age, which was the church ages and all that. Praise God, it produced a crop of corn. Right? Just like, not different from the one went in the ground. Brother, God's going to have an army of Jesus is walking around. Hallelujah. And they're going to know from within what to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It may not be any place they can refer to in the Bible and say, Paul done this or something, but it's Jesus talking to them, Jesus vindicating the Word. Praise God, Jesus doing the Word. Amen. So being the will of God, it's Jesus raising the dead. All right. Let's get back to the apostles now. Amen. Get on those lines like that, brother. I just can't hardly get away. But look. Jesus. And the apostles. Praise God. They walked around. They did the work. Praise God. They wrote down things. And they thought the Lord was coming in that day. John. Well, I was reading in John. Over in John, where John says, little children, the coming of the Lord draweth now, or something to that effect. And Paul, he wrote to him, he thought that the Lord was coming in his day. But they were so close to the coming of the Lord back here, but they had to go back here now. We're back to the same place where they started from, and we believe the Lord's coming, don't we? Amen. We believe He's coming. But see, the coming of the Lord, you say, well, how is it? Brother, it's a gradual thing. Now, I'm not saying the rapture. I'm not saying translation is a gradual thing. Amen. I'm saying this day star rising in our heart is a gradual thing. Amen. And you've got to be taught, and you've got to be led, and God's got to lead you as He teaches you. Amen. The Holy Spirit's got to be telling you the same thing that I'm telling you. Amen. If it don't, you'll never see it. Now, amen. Let's get to something here. Amen. Here's why it is. It's Jesus coming back in His people, all of them. He's telling them the same thing. All right, then where did the apostle come in at? Amen. Brother, a lot of times God can be dealing with your heart, telling you things, and you can't never get it. You know, in your mind, you know why it is, sorry, but you can't never get it exactly why it is. But brother, when you hear it preached, that's the same thing the Holy Ghost told me the other day. I just couldn't put it in words. I just couldn't get it separated right. Brother, that is the anointing that God said would be upon you and would teach you all things, and you don't need a man to teach you. You say, if you don't need a man, teach you where the fivefold ministry. Where the preachers come at. Brother, when you don't need a man to teach you whether it's God or not. It's God teach you that. No man can teach you. Amen. Then what is one of the signs of apostles? Patience. Patience. And much patience. Amen. That's not somebody said, well, Paul spoke the word and the man went blind. Paul went down and raised the man. That wasn't a sign of apostle. That was some of the later signs, but the first sign, Paul said, you'd see the sign of apostle worked among you. He said, if I'm not apostle to the other, I'm undoubtedly apostle to you or something to that effect. He said, I've labored among you in much patience, and then with signs and with wonders that God's among. Why? Because the apostle got a deep revelation. He knows what he's doing. And a lot of times it takes a lot of times to get over what he's doing. Amen. It's the same way with God. You know, people expect the move of God just rise up and bust open and be gone. God don't do it like that. Amen. When it starts, it's going to go. Praise God. But God has to get something to start with, don't he? You know, another thing, in this fivefold ministry with all its difficulties, I want you to notice this. Then we're going to hurry on. It's got to be God do it. Man can't do it. You cannot have unity. Amen. You cannot have a perfect church. You cannot have people working together because it's the nature of man wanting to work against one another. Is that right? But brother, when God gets in, you ain't got no choice. Praise God, God just does it, and you got to go along with it, and you'll find yourself, when God is doing, you'll find yourself going along with things you wonder why you do. Amen. That's God, brother. It's the Holy Ghost in you. Praise God. Old Paul and Barnabas, they parted there. But we find over there, old Paul, he's really lifting up Barnabas, no Demas. Now, a lot of people want to criticize Demas. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world. But I'm reading another place where Paul said, later on, beloved Demas. Beloved Demas. Amen. Praise God, somebody might leave me and I might criticize them, but later on, praise God, I might call them beloved. Is that right? Amen. That's what Paul did. I can show you that in the Scripture. You look up Demas in your... I didn't mark that down and put it on this here. But if you're in the doubt about it, I'll show you by looking up Demas and show you the other places where it's mentioned. Paul said, Demas, he's backslid. He's gone back out in the world. The devil's done got Demas. Amen. But then later on, he said, beloved Demas. Beloved Demas has gone over so-and-so. Amen. See, you thought Demas was backslid and was lost, didn't you? Amen. You might have thought Paul, because John left Paul and them wouldn't do what Paul said. Now, I want you to look here. Paul will probably try and tell John, you do this and you do that. John, you go this over there, and John just got fed up with it and went back to Jerusalem. Look at Brother Ledford. I said, one of the laziest men I've ever seen. Amen. We'll come to church this once in a while. We about got to make him come, but see, God knows us, don't he? God knows what we're made of. God knows all about us. Amen. But God's going to take what man thinks God can't use and make something out of it. Amen. I'm going to get this message out. And I've got to hurry up and do it. Amen. I got down here First Corinthians, but let's don't get that. We know where the people are in division over there. One said, I'm of Paul. Another said, I'm of Apollos and all that. And the preachers, they begin to follow preachers and still God. Amen. They had some Paulites, false lights and all that. And Paul had to finally tell them, it's not Paul, it's not Apollos. Was Paul died for you? Or was... you baptize in the name of Paul and all that. See, that was things going on. That was difficulties that was encountered by the early church. You say, well, what does it matter in our day? Amen. If you're real wise, you'll know what matters. You'll see God where other people can't see God because you're wise. See, the Bible says the wise will understand. Amen. The wise will understand. But the rest won't. They'll say, I can't see God there. All right, Acts 16:3. It says, talking about Timothy now, it says, him would Paul have to go forth with him. If you want to read it again, I should have a guess. But anyway, him would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which served in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Amen. Let's get this step. Yes, Timothy. Wanted to be sure it was Timothy instead of Titus. Yes, it's Timothy. All right. Paul, he got Timothy over there, good, full of faith, full of the love of God, and strong in the Word of God, because he'd been taught in Scripture, had faith from his youth up. But Paul, he believed what Paul preached concerning the kingdom of God. He believed in just Jesus' name message. He believed in one God. But what did Paul do? He took him and had him circumcised. Is that right? All right. Now I want you to flip to Galatians with me. Amen. Galatians, 5th chapter of Galatians. I want to show you what Paul said about circumcision. Amen. Glory be to God. I want to show you something that will help you keep from being offended. Because the Bible says, blessed is he that's not offended in me. Is that what the Bible says? If you can stay in the message of God and not get offended, you are blessed. You are blessed. If you can stay in the move of God, stay in the church where God's at, and not get offended, because I'll grant you those things going to come up, and it's going to look like you should get offended. It's going to look like it's all totally wrong. Amen. And it may be to the natural way of looking at it, but God knows what he's doing. Now let's read here in Timothy, in Galatians, I mean. In Galatians here, the 5th chapter, start verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now here's Paul talking now again. The same Paul that wrote this over here. Says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. You ever see a man preach something then contradict what he preached a month or two later? I'm showing you some of the difficulties and some of the things that affect you. Amen. We don't look at this thing on the level that it's on. Most of the time we want to look at a move of God and have a head up in heaven, brother. We ain't in heaven yet. We're down here on earth. Amen. We're dealing with difficulties. We're dealing with things. We're dealing with humanity. We're dealing with humanism. Amen. We're dealing with things where you've got to lean according to a condition maybe sometimes. Paul said, I become a... said, them that's under the law, I become under the law. Then. Amen. But here Paul took Timothy and had him circumcised, and then turned right around and preached and said, if you be circumcised, Christ is no property. If you be circumcised, you're fallen from grace. If you be circumcised, you've got to do the whole law. And the very man that said that was the very man that took a man and had him circumcised. How about that now? Amen. Difficulties. Things to look at. Amen. Could you have stayed with Paul and not got offended? I'm going to ask you that. Amen. Could you stay with a man that one week says, if you be circumcised, Christ means nothing to you. And then turn right around and circumcise a man? Could you have stayed with a man that would do that? Amen. Hallelujah. Difficulties, see? Difficulties of a five-fold ministry. Amen. Now, John and some of the others, we're going to show you out of a while where they got offended at Paul. How about that, Richard? Very man that preaches. Don't do it. If you do it, if you be circumcised, I'd testify. I, Paul, testify. If you be circumcised, you're fallen from grace. You're not even saved if you be circumcised. Don't do it. Have nothing to do with it at all. If you be circumcised, you've got to keep the whole law. And we know the law is fulfilled in Christ, don't we? The grace of God means nothing to you if you're circumcised. Turn right around, then take a man circumcised. If you want to apply these dates, go feel God. And you can see you can apply the times and all of that, but to me that's not important, the dates of these happenings. I want to get to you the difficulties. Amen. All right, while we're in Galatians, let's turn back to Galatians 2. Amen. Galatians 2. Because I want to try to hurry and get this on tape. I guess you're getting worried. Don't mean to worry you, but things like this, you can think of next week and you'll see that they're important. You'll see that it's not just talking. Amen. That I'm trying to help you to make it into the kingdom of God without being offended. All right, let's go to Galatians 2 now. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me. I want you to notice here again, here old Paul and Barnabas got back together again. Amen. They're very important because he went back to Jerusalem. Amen. After 14 years. Now listen to what it says now. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but private to them of reputation, lest by any means I should run, or I'd run in vain. But neither Titus, who was a Greek with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now only Timothy was circumcised, there Titus was too, notice that. And that because of false brethren, here's why he had to do it, because false, and that because of false brethren, unaware, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. All right, I want you to notice now they had false brethren. Now, if we'd look at that today, it would be false brethren in Brother Brown's message would come in to spy our liberty. See, in Brother Brown's message. See, we got to apply it for the day it's in. Now, this was in Paul's day, but Paul had to have Titus circumcised too. Amen. But let's go on. Don't get offended at Paul. Amen. He's in glory because he said, I'm ready to be departed. He said, if I go out of this body, I'll be present with the Lord. So don't look at Paul. Don't spit in Paul's face because he preached one thing, turned right around and done something else. He was a man looking at the conditions. In the day he was preaching in, he was working according to the conditions. And somebody's behind Paul writing down what he was doing. Now, if it was Paul doing this writing, Paul didn't do all this writing. The book of Acts was not wrote by Paul. See, Paul might not would have put his mistakes down. Amen. If David done all of the writing about David, he might not would have put down his mistake. How David went over and killed a man, took his wife, and all committed fornication, adultery, and so forth. David might not would have wrote it down, but God put it down anyway, didn't he? Amen. We've got to look at humanity, and then we've got to see God. When God's time comes, brother, he does it anyway. See, the healing revival in 1906, how they tried to have a meeting. If you've read the little book, Frank Bonham's book on Another Way Roll In, you can see how they prayed and they sought God and the Holy Ghost came. But 6 months later, they didn't have any big move. It got denominated and blown away in 6 months. Those little sketches come on up. But in 1946, God got ready to send a revival and didn't have to ask none of them about it. He just picked it up and dropped it down here on earth, and brother, healing revival went and spread forth around the world. Right? Why? Because it got time to do it, and God wanted to do it, and he didn't ask nobody. He just used what people were on the earth to do it with. Amen. But it was time to do it, and God done it, and he did what he wanted to. Amen. He poured out the rain on the just and unjust, but this time, brother, it's an unwritten law in your heart. Christ in your soul. When Christ get ready to come into you, brother, somewhere or another, he's going to have you ready. And messages like this will get you ready. Amen. Messages like this will make you see humanity. It'll make you see God, too. All right, let's go. I got to verse 5, I believe. To whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for an hour. That the truth of the gospel might be hindered. Or it might continue that the truth of the gospel. They came in and the preaching stuff wasn't right. Paul said, did we subject ourselves? No, sir. He stood firm for the word. All right. There are those who seem to be, somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepted no man's person for. They who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. See? The old followers. Amen. In other words, in Brother Brown's message. Amen. If we go into their midst today, they may be having a conference. Tell us what the prophet said. What the prophet said about the latter rain hit fall. What the prophet said about fivefold ministry. We over here, I don't think they could add nothing to it. Do you? I think it would be contrary-wise. I think we could add something to them. Tell them about the day star. Amen. Tell them about Christ arising in their heart. Tell them about the Son of Righteousness that has come. Tell them about how the Lord has started condescending on earth and how now He's pressing Himself into us and how now that Christ is being born again in us and how now that we're becoming partakers of His divine nature. Amen. Which is not our nature but God's nature. Amen. Glory to God. Where did they get to? What verse? Number 7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcised was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcised was to Peter. Now hold that verse 7. Notice the gospel of the uncircumcised was committed to Paul. And the gospel to the Jews were committed unto Peter. We got two apostles here, and we'll find out why they're going two different ways. Amen. All right, let's hurry though. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcised, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. Now watch here. Listen real close. And when James, Peter, and John, which Cephas, James, Cephas, and John. Cephas was Peter's real name, but Jesus called him Peter.
you know. Amen. Now here it's back on its old name. I don't know why it resurged back to it. But when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace of God that was given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcised. Amen. Brother, you can read the Word of God, and it's good, ain't it? See, old Paul and Barnabas, they got having some problems over there about John. Amen. But we find them back together here. All right. Verse 10. Only that we should remember the poor, the same which I always was forward to do. Now listen, here's what I want you to get, verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to blame. Now here's two of the apostles of God at one of those throats. The difficulties in a fivefold ministry. The difficulties you encounter in a ministry of God. Amen. Suppose two apostles of God was here tonight and you see them just about fighting one another. You'd say, wow, they ain't of God. Wouldn't you? That's what you would say. Amen. I withstood him. What is withstanding somebody? You're standing against what they're doing. Praise God. So Paul said, I withstood Peter to the face. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to blame. Now watch Peter. He's a Jew. Watch him refer back to the Jewish nature. Amen. I want to say this before I read verse 12, though. I hope this is not bold. You would think Peter, after he saw this sheep come down before him three times, and God says, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. Peter said, Lord, I am not going to do it. Ain't nothing unclean ever come in my mouth. That's the Jew for you. And Peter got the revelation that it meant the Gentiles. That the Gentiles, they were clean, they were holy because God's mercy made them holy. That's the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, if you want to read it, when he went up to Cornelius' house. All right, you would think after such a great revelation, after three times God vindicated to Peter that the Gentiles just as clean as Jews by the grace of God, you would think old Peter would be sold out, wouldn't you? But watch, after a period of years elapsed, watch how Peter's thinking. He's the same old Peter he was back then when God showed him the vision. Amen. Watch him now. Watch him. Now, what verse did I get to? Verse 12. For when certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Watch old Peter, brother. He's doing something wrong. God just told him three times by great vindication. Gentile just as good as Jew. Watch old Peter back up on the Word of God. Verse 13. And the other Jews disassembled likewise. Now what? Inasmuch that Barnabas also was carried about with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew liveth after the manner of a Gentile, and not as do the Jews, why compellest the Gentiles to live as the Jews does? That's human for you, brother. You say, oh, Peter had the Holy Ghost, he had the keys to the kingdom, he was apostle. Why did he do that? Blessed is he that is not offended in me. Blessed is he that is not offended in me. Amen. Praise God, Peter will become the same old Peter he was years ago after those great revelations God gave him. But you notice he didn't argue back with Paul. When Paul corrected him, he had to say, that's right, Paul. That's right, Paul. You're right. He didn't fight with him. Amen. But you would think that couldn't be God in that movement. You see old Peter and Paul there, one another's throat. Even Barnabas, when he saw Peter run away from those Gentiles, Barnabas, Paul's helper, went with him. Barnabas also was carried about way with his dissimulation. Amen. Where is it, God? Difficulties. Difficulties. I have a fivefold ministry. We haven't seen near as many difficulties as they have. I could go all night long showing you encounters like this. Or how we could go back under Moses and all the way back to show you how these difficulties has always occurred. But then show you when it got God's time to do anything, God didn't look at difficulty. God didn't look at humanity. God looked at what His Word said would be, brother, and He done it anyhow.
Can't you see things how they happen in Bible days? What are you looking for a church? What are you looking for in the move of God? Amen. Now, I believe if a man be going one way, one week, next week you see him going completely the other way, away from what he was going, I think the man's wrong. Something wrong with the man. See? Praise be to God. Let's see, I've got to hurry here because our time's getting away. Amen. Did I read all that? Yes, I think I read all that. I need to read that. I want to read at least one more place over here in John, 3 John. But it ain't no way to get through. I could tell you all night, one place after another. I didn't get a third of the places in the book of Acts there. You could just keep on getting them. I could show you things that if happened among us, it'd cause you to stumble. That happened among the early church. That's right. But these are difficulties we encounter while we're on our way to perfection. That's what I want you to see. I don't want you to stumble. And the Bible says, amen, that these things written for our example. Is that what it says? I don't want you to stumble. If you see a little something don't look just right, don't worry about it. Praise God. Keep your eyes on Jesus and watch that thing. If God's ordained to work, brother, it's going to be difficulties, isn't it? It's going to be ups and downs. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes it looks like God's a million miles away. But just keep watching. Keep watching. Amen. That's what the Lord told you, Brother Carl. Just keep watching. Amen. See? See, don't look at mistakes. Watch God. Watch God. See? Don't get your eye on man. If you ever get your eye on a man, you're on your way out. But always watch God and watch what God says. See? Amen. Just take the, for example, the prophecy that came forth. Yea, saith the Lord. I've raised up this place. I've ordained it and I've sanctified it. My people come find it. Don't look like it does. It don't look like it. It don't look like it. Amen. But how many people have God got? You don't know that, do you? I don't either. Praise God. But when God says something, He will do it. All right, in 3 John. Is that where you're at? 3 John? Let's read the scripture. I want to show you that the church in that day wouldn't even accept the apostles. This is 3 John. I hope you don't go to sleep. Now, you can sit back in your home, listen to this tape, and I know you'll probably get more out of it than you get in the night. Because some of you are sleepy, some of you are getting wore out. Amen. Some of you think I'm just grinding for nothing. Amen. But you can get in your home and listen to that part of it and cut it off. And then come back later and listen to that rest, and you'll see that this ain't just grinding. You'll see it's very important. All right, in John, 3 John, listen to that verse. Oh, John, I wrote unto the churches, but thy three-fifths, I believe that's thou three-fifths, I guess the way you pronounce that, if it's not right, you know what is the name, who lovest to have preeminence among them, received us not. So they had those in the early church. They had preachers there that liked to lift themselves up. And when God sent somebody that they didn't like, they wouldn't have them. You might say, I thought that only went on and out in this church. No, listen to the next verse. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does prating. Prating. See what that strutting, I would call it. Being big, chest stuck out. I've got the revelation of God. Who do they think they are? It's prating among us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Not content. I could dwell on that, but I ain't got time. Neither does he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. Now look, you didn't know they had that in the early church, did you? You didn't know they had pastors that wouldn't even receive God's apostles and the men that the apostles know. Amen. We could show you different ones for how they was teachers of the law. Amen. I could show you over in Timothy where some even come in the church teaching the resurrection is already passed. Did that upset God's plan? No, sir. God's plan went exactly like He ordained. You believe that?
You say, how could this man be the pastor of the church? Yes. And wouldn't even let the apostles in, then that the apostles saying he'd throw them out. Amen. Difficulties. Well, how do you think John felt? Amen. You remember, how many remember the message I preached on, I believe, the agonies of St. Paul? Anybody remember that? I went over a lot of these things. I'm not getting in here tonight. I just get what happened to Paul personally. I'm getting what happened to the church worldwide. See? You notice the difference. If you've heard the tape, the agonies of St. Paul. How I went and took the life of St. Paul and showed you how much difficulties he encountered. But I'm not telling you only about St. Paul. I'm telling you about John. I'm telling you about Peter. I'm telling you about Barnabas. I'm telling you about how much difficulties they all encountered. But it didn't throw the plan of God. God just kept on moving. Amen. Walking in the light. Now, Ephesians 4 is our closing scripture. Let's start at the verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Amen. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come. Now, what do till we all come mean? I could stop and preach an hour on that. Till we all come. It means we're not there. And it means we've got to encounter these difficulties till we get there. You understand? Till we all come. We all hadn't come yet, but till we all come. Amen. This fivefold ministry will eventually do it, though. Till we all come into unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Now, what's the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? It means Jesus Christ walking around the earth again. But he's not in one man, he's in a body. In a body. Then it goes on to tell about being many members, but that's not the subject. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Now, what do be no more children mean? Oh, how we could stop on that. We're not any more children, it means we've reached maturity. When you stop growing, you're not a child anymore. You've reached maturity. See, the fivefold ministry will bring us to maturity. What will it take this year tonight will help bring us to maturity. Why? Why will it help us? We can see faults in our brothers and sisters. We can see them make mistakes and then go right on with them. But brother, come on. Come on, brother. Let's stay in that word as much. Let's pray for one another. Let's walk together. See? Amen. Then you're not a child. You can do that. Toss to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Brother, there's another thing. Somebody come along with a strange doctrine. But something just don't click. Something just don't click. Amen. I could say a lot more, but I ain't got time. And I've got time, but you have. By the sway of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait and deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. Now listen, may grow up into Him. Into Him. Now growing up. See, one, those two words, growing up. Growing up means a process. It means some time's got to elapse. In other words, Brother Brown uncovered the foundation. He got us back to where the fivefold ministry was. But now we've got to grow up. We're just children. Amen. Can you understand when the church gets grown and we don't grow up no more? It's perfect. We'll just begin to do the works of Christ, see? But it'll never do the works of Christ until it gets grown. Amen. Because it's in a growing stage. The works of Christ will be there, but not the perfect works of Christ. See, we could stop now and take that message. And that which is perfect is kind. That which is done in part will be done. I'm preaching what's done in part. We're still doing things in part. Amen. Grow up. But speaking the love and truth, grow up into Him, which is the head, even Christ. Then you go on where the body joins together. But blessed is he that is not offended in me. Are you offended in this word? Are you offended in the way the apostles acted, the way they operated, the way they done? Are you? You say, I didn't know that. Well, amen. There's a lot of things we don't know in. Probably. But let's do this for meanwhile.
Burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. Set my soul on fire. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and my full desire. And raising the dead, fill me with. word that was shed. Would you like to tell